We have to abide in Him. We have to abide in the Lord. I can be saved and not be abiding in the Lord. I can have faith and not display it. The first fruit should be in myself, shouldn't it? The fruit of salvation. And this the Lord has put into me. I didn't have anything to do with it. But once that faith is in me, it should be seen and displayed to others around me. I'm not going to bear any fruit for the Lord Jesus if I sit back and say, well, I'm saved, that's wonderful, and I'll continue to live my life as everybody else does in this world. There'll be no fruit bearing for Him. No fruit bearing. I may still get to heaven. I may still be a child of God. But I don't lay any store, any treasure in heaven. There is nothing that I'm doing for Him. Now we say, well, a person who does nothing for the Lord, we question his salvation. But who am I to say that such a person is not saved? You know, who am I to say that they are not attached to the vine simply because there's no fruit? But the Lord delights, taking the other side, when we bear fruit for Him. And we do that by reflecting the faith that we have in our lives, which is living, of course, a different life, a different lifestyle than we see in the world around us. And that life or lifestyle is displayed in the Lord Jesus, and even though we certainly will never achieve His perfection and His perfect walk in this scene, but there's always a striving toward that. The beauty, the perfection that I see in my Lord, this is what should draw me to bear fruit for Him and to tell others about Him, and not just to speak about Him, but to display Him in whatever way He gives grace for me to do so.
The Lord Jesus Christ uses the analogy of a vine and a branch, and it says in verse 4, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, thus neither can ye unless you abide in me. So the question, and we see a lot of abide in this and you in me, and I think we need to really say what the beginning of verse 4 says, abide in me and I in you. What is that for us? How do I abide in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how does He abide in us? Because that's, if that is done, fruit is born. So I think we need to say a few things on that.
I think it's a test of reality. It's not to put any doubt in anyone's mind, but it's a test of reality. Right? After all, Judas was still with the Lord Jesus. He wasn't saved. He's in verse 6. He stands forth as a branch and is withered and is burned. So don't you think that's the lesson, that it tests reality and not part? Because constantly abiding, Jesus is mine. Every believer abides in Christ. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the security.
But what do we mean, though, Brother Bob, when I say abide in me? When the Lord Jesus Christ said, abide in me, what is He saying? And I am to abide in Him. What is He really saying for us today?
Well, he answers your question in verse 7 and onward. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, later on he says in verse 10, if you keep my commandments, abiding in Christ is being an obedient believer. And it involves the entire Word of God, not just the words of Christ Himself in the Gospels. It's the entire Word of God. So this is one way we abide in Him, by being obedient.
Could we say it has a sense of dependence on Him for any of this fruit? Because after it says, abide in me in verse 4, and I in you, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. You could imagine a branch thinking to itself, well, I've been doing pretty well with the fruit, so I think I'd like to start my own vine. I'm going to kind of break off from the vine and use my own skills in bearing fruit. Obviously, that's not going to work. That branch is not going to bear any fruit by itself. So it seems to emphasize the thought of dependence, first of all, to realize that, as John started us off with this thought, without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, we will be very useless for God in this world, in the sense that there will not be the visible testimony that He would like us to have as a normal Christian experience. and not to put too fine a distinction on it, but I wonder if we might say that there might be a progression here as well in how we bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit, that in verse 4, the branch that abides in the vine brings fruit, bears fruit. Verse 5 seems to emphasize abiding in me and I in him bearing much fruit. And I wonder if that might be the additional realization that not only do I have to depend on Christ, but now Christ is in me in this world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in me, Christ abiding in me, changes the way I live in this world as well. Not only do I depend on him, but I display him. And that's something additional to bring forth more fruit. And then possibly further, again, not to be too fine, put too fine a distinction on it and insist on it this way, but then in verse 7, the much fruit in verse 8 comes after verse 7, where his words abide in us. And there's this interchange of asking and receiving, and it seems to be a very an increased intimacy of relationship. Just to relate that, jumping ahead to the intimacy of the relationship that the Lord mentions in verses 14 and 15, he intends there to be a very clear and close communication and communion, fellowship with him. His words abiding in us, we thinking on what he has said and what we, how we become like him by thinking of what he has said, and having this interchange of asking and receiving, that becomes the much fruit. So it seems to be these thoughts, I'm sure there are others, but dependence on him, to be in him, and then he in us, that we're displaying him, and then further that there's an increased enjoyment of the communication and fellowship we can have with him, possibly.
Just to connect to the previous sessions somewhat, however vaguely, in 2 Corinthians 3, the last verse of the chapter, it says, "We all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed." He changes us so that we're fruit bearing. But it's beholding here. This was the ones who once were blind, we had in chapter 9, that he gives sight to. Then he said to Peter, "The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life." That's the thing that he said, "My sheep hear my voice." The ability to do this is the product of the life he gives. Without that life, we can't hear or see. I think abiding is a simple word that speaks to us of life, living.
I was thinking of the abiding as, again, drawing on me and drawing from me as abiding in him. The fruit cannot be born unless there is the connection of the branch to the vine and the total dependence upon the vine. But the I in you seems to imply the produce to some degree. I am dwelling in him, or I am abiding in him, drawing from him, and he is now in me in the sense that as a result of my abiding in him, there is absolute pleasure for his heart. It's like the prayer in Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That there is something restful in the believer now. Something of a pleasure where Christ can rest comfortably, can dwell comfortably as finding pleasure in us. So I think that that's the thought of the we abiding in him and he in us is the result of our abiding in him. There is satisfaction for his heart.
So when you say, go ahead for a moment.
John 13 and John 14, there is no responsibility whatsoever. There are divine resources given in John 14. They're in the upper room. But now he's not in the upper room. He's walking over to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's telling them their responsibility. So John 15 is responsibility on our part. John 14 and 13, there's no responsibility. It's what we have in Christ. Father's house, many mansions, Holy Spirit indwelling us. But here, he says, you have got, there's responsibility. So I just labeled chapter 15 as responsibility. Wouldn't you say? The characteristics that just come out from his own.